But we kick off the hour by getting on board the Tiller and Ride telephone line and connecting with Julie DeCaro. She's worked for a long time as a reporter in Chicago at 670 The Score and has written a phenomenal column on SI.com talking about some of the things that women in sports media have to go through, particularly in social media in terms of comments. Comments so strong, so forceful, and so threatening that Julie was recently forced to step away from her job out in Chicago. And we're happy to have Julie on with us to talk about this. Welcome to Downtown.
Hi, thanks for having me.
This is the article on SI.com, The Cauldron, just absolutely breathtaking article. We know this is bad, but to see it right there, to see some of the comments that you've received, that other women in sports media received, it has to boggle the mind of anybody with an IQ above double digits that people would sink to this level.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, especially, you know, I grew up in a family where we weren't allowed to say shut up to each other. We got in trouble. And so to have someone speaking so harshly to you and wishing such like violence on you just because they disagree with your opinions of sports or because they don't think you're covering the story the way you should be covering it, it really sort of knocks you back a little bit when you see it.
Well, you've been getting these comments, as all women in sports media have for quite some time, but it really came to a head recently with your coverage of the Patrick Kane rape case in Chicago. Can you share some of the details of the threats that were made to you and what forced you to step back a little bit?
Yeah, there were a lot of threats that were like, you know, I hope, you know, the Blackhawks should beat you to death with their sticks. You know, I hope you get hit in the puck with a head and die, you know, stuff like that. But there was one that was a little, it was very specific to my workplace, and it made a comment about this person knowing how I entered and exited my building every day. So based on that, I decided to sort of step away after talking to my family, talking to my coworkers, and I just said, you know, I'm going to take the day off, I'm going to take the weekend off, to stay off social media and sort of give this all a chance to die down. So that's what wound up happening.
Well, and also in your coverage, you have been very open in sharing your own past, your history as a rape victim. And while you would think that would make people more sensitive, instead, that's brought out even more of the hatred and idiocy from people.
Yeah, you know, there really is a, and I'm convinced it's a very, very small number, but a very vocal man on Twitter, and even some women, which is actually even more disturbing, who really sort of take joy in trying to upset people, saying horrible things. And it goes along with this idea that women are lying, that they're always lying, that no matter what your allegation is, or if you're even with a professional athlete, you're out for money. If you're accusing them of rape or battery, you're out for money. It's a really ugly, misogynistic corner of the Internet. And you know, like I said, the vast majority of guys out there will shout these guys down. But they sort of have their own little echo chamber going on, and they draw strength from each other. And it's a really kind of ugly little thing they have going.
Well, and sadly, your experience is not unique. You wrote about some of the other women who've shared those experiences. We've had people on the show like Beth Mowins from ESPN, Leslie Visser from CBS. And again, some of them who started out earlier didn't have to deal with the social media aspect, but would get comments on websites, comments on blogs. So it's also not anything new. What is it about sports in particular that brings out this vitriol in men?
You know, that's a question that I had, too. And I talked to a sociologist who thought that he thinks that this is sort of, and I agree with him, that this is sports radio and sports media is sort of the last bastion a lot of men feel like, the place where they can be themselves, where they don't have to be what they see as being politically correct. And they really resent feeling like women are invading their space. It seems, and, you know, the things they say seem to be calculated to sort of just reinforce you're not welcome here, this is not a safe place for you to be. You know, we don't want you here. And I talked to a lot of reporters for this. In fact, the deadline wound up getting pushed up a little bit because of what had happened to the Patrick Kane thing. So a lot of people's comments got left on the cutting room floor. But I talked to Michelle Beadle of ESPN. I talked to Sarah Spain of ESPN, Jen Latta at ESPN, Amy Lawrence at CBS. Like, everybody had their stories and had their little cache of screenshots that, you know, they are sort of the worst things that they've ever heard.
We're talking with Julie DeCaro of The Score, 670 in Chicago. Or her column is on SI.com, and it's a phenomenal read for anybody who loves sports and wants to see it treated the way it ought to be and see women treated the way they ought to be as well. Now, these are fans or purported fans. How about athletes, coaches, and the people you deal with on a professional basis day to day? are they better? Have we made progress in their approach toward women invading what they perceive as their space?
I think in some cases we have. I certainly, the guys that I work with, and I've been at a couple of stations now, have welcomed me with open arms, and I certainly don't feel sexism and misogyny coming from my coworkers. But, you know, just the way that some athletes still speak, I've had a couple of women who are in locker rooms all the time telling me about the comments that are made to them continually. And it's sort of this idea that you're lucky you're here, so you just kind of have to take it, thing. And it's, you know, I think that in terms of getting more women out there, we're making changes and, you know, things are starting to sort of, you know, go in the other direction. But when it comes to sort of infiltrating the press box, the locker room, stuff like that, I think we still got a long ways to go.
Now, there's obviously the really aggressive vitriol that you've been receiving, and then there's perhaps a more passive kind, and we saw it happen around here in this market where another sports show posted a poll on their Facebook page asking listeners who was the best Red Sox sideline reporter, and of course featured pictures of all the women, threw in one guy as a token, but even sort of in a snarky, cheesy way, asked about which woman or which of the sideline reporters had the best set of quote-unquote talents. And we were horrified by that, but that's also the kind of thing that goes on all the time, that women are held to a completely different standard.
Yeah. I mean, if you see look at what happened Erin Andrews getting the top spot at Fox, and there was a big hullabaloo there about why she'd gotten that spot and wasn't because of her looks. And then in so many of the stations, women are, you know, relegated to being sideline reporters, being update anchors. You know, Jillian Barbary did the weather, for crying out loud, on Fox Sports, and she's a very knowledgeable football fan. So it, you know, there's an idea that women can have their place in sports, but it's only certain places. You don't see anybody sitting at the table necessarily when the guys are breaking down the game. You don't see anyone as, like, the lead columnist for, you know, such and such a paper as a woman. That's pretty rare. So, you know, the thing is, if you're on TV at all, you don't see any ugly women on TV covering sports. But we have so many ugly men that we all have to look at. But when it comes to women, you certainly have to be thin and blonde and tall and beautiful, and that's just sort of the way it's been going.
And it's interesting that fans will give a pass to a man who clearly never played the game and accept his supposed expert analysis, but a woman would never be given that same opportunity.
Absolutely. And guys have been saying that even about Jessica Mendoza, who's been in the booth for Sunday Night Baseball, that, oh, softball's a completely different game. She shouldn't be talking about baseball. She doesn't know what she's talking about. And yet there's all kinds of guys in booths all over the country who've never played the game. It's absolutely ridiculous. It really is such an unfair double standard. And especially, the thing I don't think that a lot of guys realize is that most of us that grew up post-Title IX grew up with sports as much a part of our lives as boys do. You know, my whole family sat down on the Sundays and watched the Bears. I sat there and watched Cubs games with my dad. I learned how to throw a fastball. I can throw a pretty good spiral. You know, like, these are all parts of our lives as well. It's not really just something that sort of that boys do anymore. It's something that girls are involved in too. And they really, it shouldn't be surprising that we want a place at the table.
So in terms of the comments, Julie, do you think that maybe it breaks down along age lines at all?
I think that's possible. I certainly, although I'll say this, a fair number of the guys who are saying really terrible things at women have pictures of themselves with their daughters in their avatars, which to me is really upsetting. Or they'll be talking about their daughters, and, you know, and yet they'll go on to some women and say, I hope you're raped and killed. But then they have a picture of them holding their little princess in their avatar, which to me is really upsetting. I think it breaks down. I think it actually has more to do with breaking down along educational lines. I think there is a class of men who feel like they're being pushed out by women in just about every industry, and sports is a place where they feel like they can vent it.
I think that's a great point there. Does this just change your enjoyment of the job, and should it discourage other women from going into the business?
It hasn't changed my enjoyment of the job. I mean, I definitely needed a break after last week, but I'll tell you what, it's made it really hard for me to watch the Blackhawks. I'm just, you know, I'm a huge diehard Blackhawks fan, and I have not been into it at all this year. And a lot of that is not only because of the stuff that have been said to me about the Blackhawks, but the way that they've sort of handled the whole Patrick Kane situation. Now the Bulls are kind of doing the same thing with Derrick Rose. It's really disappointing.
Well, Julie, it's a wonderful and a courageous column. We appreciate what you're doing. Keep fighting that good fight, and know that I think most rational people are firmly on your side and want to see things change for the better. We so much appreciate you making time for us this afternoon.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Rich. It was great talking to you.
Julie DeCaro from The Score in Chicago. Again, her column is on SI.com, The Cauldron. You got to read it. We'll post it on the Facebook page as well. It is 17 after 5 o'clock here on Downtown. Still to come, Dennis Price, Gary Tagway, Comcast Sportsnet New England. And right now, a check on the weather from News Center's Steve McKay. Brought to you by Van Sickle Kia, next to the Olive Garden on the Hogan Road in Bangor and online at vansickle.com.
Clouds continue to thicken this afternoon into the evening hours. Showers will kick in. Look for nighttime lows in the 50s to around 60. Rain, heavy at times on Wednesday into Wednesday night. In fact, a flood watch has been posted for the Penobscot Valley region, much of central and southern Maine as well. On Thursday, clouds and showers to begin the day, then becoming partly cloudy, 50s to around 60 for the high. Clouds and showers for Friday, daytime highs 50s to around 60. For Downtown with Rich Kimball, I'm WLBC News Center 2 meteorologist Steve McKay.
The summer clearance sale is going on right now at Van Sickle Kia.